Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
The Bible reading today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 14 through to verse 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, so what is God's greatest commandment? What is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Good. It's not a new message, is it? We know it. We know it, and so we should, because love is the marker of God's people. We are God's people, and we are to be known by our love. Now, I'm a little hesitant to ask, but how do you think we're going? How are we doing? Is it the marker of our church? Love? Our love for God and love for one another? If a friend was asked of me how they would describe me, would my love for God and love for them get a mention? It's challenging. What about us as a church community? What are we known by to the people of East Doncaster? Is it our love? Are we known? What do they say about us, if they say anything? What about Christians? What are non-Christians? What does society say about Christians? Do they associate Christians with love? It's a challenging, really challenging question. I've been reflecting on this for some time, and I can't honestly say that I think we are known by our love. And maybe you are known, maybe I am known by love for a small number of people. And if that's you, then that's awesome. Keep going. But I don't think as a church, we are known by our love on a great scale. And it bothers me, and it should bother you, and it should bother me, because it should be the marker of our church. And so in asking the question, why aren't we known for our love, I've asked the question, well, what is Jesus's kingdom vision of love? What is the kingdom vision of love? This is kingdom fitness. We've been looking at the kingdom of God and the power of love. What is Jesus's kingdom vision of love? And have we got the full picture? Do we really get it? What his vision of love is? Do we want to be captured? Are we willing to be captured by Jesus's kingdom vision of love? Do we? Yes? Yes? All right, if you do, repeat after me. Jesus, I want to be captured by your kingdom vision of love. I give you permission to make it happen. Amen. All right, let's go back and recap what the kingdom of God is. Now, I know we've been going over this for some time, but I feel like we still need to go back and always remind ourselves of what the kingdom of God is. So please bear with me if you think you've heard it before. Shortly after his baptism, Jesus started to proclaim the good news. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. I've read these verses, I've heard this read so many times, and yet I still feel like I'm just starting to really understand what he meant, what Jesus meant when he declared those words. You see, the more I unpack it, the more I realize just how big a statement that is. It's a huge statement that ought to have huge implications for us as followers of Jesus. Now, this news that the kingdom of heaven is near, this is the good news. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. And this gospel or good news that the kingdom of heaven is near, it hangs on two verbs: has come and is near. The first has come, it's about time. The appointed time, or in the Greek, it's a promised time. This is the time that the people had been waiting for. The good news, it's come. It's come at the start of Jesus' ministry. What does a kingdom have? It has a king. The kingdom of God has come because the king has come. The second verb is about location. The kingdom is near. It, heaven, the kingdom of God, heaven is so close you can touch it. It's reachable. So if we put these two verbs together, the impact of this good news, it comes alive. The kingdom of God that everyone has been waiting for has come alive because the king has come and we can now be a part of it. It's here. And it's now. I feel so strongly that God wants us to really get this. The kingdom of God is so much more than just getting a place in heaven, getting a ticket into heaven. See, Jesus ushered in, he brought in something new when he came to earth. He ushered in a God-empowered resistance movement against all evil. Evil in us and around us. And that movement he called the kingdom of God. Jesus declared the aim of this movement or his mission in these words. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he backed up his words and he showed in demonstration what that meant. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Jesus had proved that the kingdom of God had in fact come near, so near it was tangible. He was demonstrating by his actions the good news, news that brings freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and release to the oppressed, God's favor upon them. It is God's dreams society on earth. It's heaven on earth. Jesus taught us to pray, "Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the kingdom of God is God's rule. It's his will among people, a people who partner with him to carry out his will, to affect the earth, to impact others and change society. It's a movement to change society, to be in line with his will. And Jesus taught the people the way of his kingdom. He taught us the way of his kingdom, a new way to live. It was a radical way to live. It is a radical way to live. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the prisoner, care for the widow, forgive those who hurt us, bless those who curse us, who persecute us. This is how God's people are to act, demonstrating how to resist evil without violence. The kingdom vision of Jesus is a kingdom of people who are noted, who are known by one thing: love. Love. In the kingdom, the king's land, and the citizens of the king are those who love God and love others. When Jesus stands up and announces that the kingdom has drawn near, he is saying that a society of people who are shaped by love are about to take the stage and show the world how to live. How amazing would it be, truly amazing, if we here as a church community at Deep Creek were a people that were shaped and known by our love? Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Kingdom love, it's not like worldly love. Love of the world is conditional, and it says, "Love me first, then love others." It's love as long as our needs are met first. It's leftover love. The world gets our leftover love. Kingdom love, or agape love, is the kind of love that's spoken about in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I didn't plan to read it to you this morning, and it just so happens that Shannon read it to you anyway earlier. But this is the kind of love that is kingdom love. Love is patient. Love is kind. I would encourage you to go home, open up 1 Corinthians 13, and really reflect on what we are to be marked by, what kind of love. It's a love for God and love for others. It's agape love for God, that self-sacrificing love towards God. It's saying, "God, you are my first priority. Not me, you are my first priority. So I'm going to live my life in a way that reflects that, and I choose your will over mine." It's hard to live out. And it's agape love for one another. It's a love that puts others' needs above ours to will the good of another, even if it comes at a cost to us. Jesus demonstrated his love in action. Love for God and love for others. He was devoted to God. He praised him continually. He sacrificed his time for him. We see in the scriptures that Jesus regularly withdrew to pray. And he gave God the credit, the glory for everything that he was doing. He was acting on behalf of the one who sent him. There's no question about Jesus' love and devotion to his Father. He's known by it. Then, of course, Jesus demonstrated his love, his agape love, towards us. He did this by sacrificing himself on the cross and dying for us. But he also demonstrated it in his day-to-day, everyday life by meeting practical needs. He provided food for large multitudes of people when they were hungry. He turned water into wine at a wedding. The wedding had run out of wine, and he provided the wine. He met a need. And then he did things like giving value to the isolated and the outcasts of society, the children, the widows, the orphans. Jesus, he healed. He healed those who were sick. He met needs. Jesus' love, it looked like something. His love wasn't a nice feeling. It wasn't a feeling, nice thoughts, or a matter of words. Let's take, for example, the man with leprosy. You can read about him in the Gospels in Matthew, it's chapter 8. The man with leprosy, you have to understand that this man, he was in that day, he was the lowest of the low. He was a no name in the society's eyes. He was an untouchable. And yet Jesus reached out and touched him. This was a significant move on Jesus' part, because leprosy is unclean. And by reaching out and touching the unclean, that's social suicide. But Jesus didn't care, because his love for God was more powerful, and he wanted God's will before his own. So he reached out and he touched this man. He healed the man. Leprosy was gone. He was carrying out his mission to preach good news to the poor. And for what, for this man, what Jesus brought really was good news. This man, he was a prisoner of society. He was a social outcast. And by meeting the need to be healed of leprosy, Jesus actually brought transformation to this man's entire life. You see, being clean meant that he was able to rejoin society. It wasn't just healing a disease. By addressing the need for leprosy to be gone, Jesus was actually giving this man his life back. There's something so powerful about this kind of love, the kingdom kind of love, the agape love. Whether it's love for God or love for others, kingdom love, it transforms. It has the power to bring transformation. Love for God brings transformation to us. It transforms us into his likeness. Spending time talking to and listening to him, reading about him, talking about him, praising and worshipping him, thinking about him. That's all loving him. It's all loving God. And the more we get to know God through these things, the more we fall in love with him. We can't help it. He's God. He is love. The greatest commandment is to love God with everything we are and have, and love others. Whether it's agape for God or agape for others, transformation happens. Agape for God transforms us to be like him so that we can agape others. And agape for others, it brings transformation to them. It may not be instant, but over time, as we continue to live a life of demonstrating agape towards others, transformation is happening. I want us to watch a clip.
Help you, he helped me, man. He broke my addiction.
I got a...
Yeah. Now tell me, because I've seen it.
38, mate, is shattered.
No, I believe, I really got faith that he will heal you. He can make...
I've been through faith in everything.
Okay. Do you mind if I just quickly pray for you for 1 minute?
And yeah,
just sure. Okay, what's your name?
Mark.
And where's the pain at the back, right here?
Lower back.
He's had a shattered back for about, I'm saying, 28 years or something that doctors couldn't fix.
And we believe that now in the name of Jesus, through his stripes, we are healed, that the healing power right now is going to come in the name of Jesus, because you love him so much, Heavenly Father. How does that feel? Can you move? Okay. You have no worries, man. We'll just share the love around him. This is what we do. Thank you very much, Mark.
Share the love.
Okay, yep. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mark.
Before letting Mark go, John wanted to pray for him again.
In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for Mark and his beautiful family, that you're going to pour so much love and, you know, there's going to be healing. I believe there's going to be healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Pain, I'll be at the post.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'll show you.
Yep, no worries.
Just try it again one more time before you go. We often see it just healed like that. Not joking.
It's all shattered.
How's it feeling?
Yeah, no.
Mark walked away with pain still in his back. But instead of creating theologies as to why he wasn't healed, John and Pat simply believe this.
We just believe it. We've got that faith to go out and pray for everyone. And just because we love them so much, because Jesus, God so much loved us, yet he gave us his son, so we so much love him that we give ourselves for him.
And instead of being discouraged as Mark walked off, these were John's words.
I can feel something in his back when I was praying.
Then the extraordinary happened.
As he was walking off, he just came back and started screaming.
It feels different.
Yeah?
It does.
It does. Yeah? Feel loosened? Okay. Hallelujah. Whoa!
Yep. That's kingdom love. That's the kingdom of God right there. Kingdom love, it brings transformation. It brings transformation. the kingdom of God is God's rule, his will to heal that man, Mark. Among people, among John and Pat, who said yes to partnering with God to release healing, to affect the earth. I don't think Mark's life would have ever been, will be the same from that moment on. He fixed my pain. Did you hear it? Did you see the moment where transformation happened? He fixed my pain. The moment he realized it was Jesus, this was a sovereign act of God, he fixed my pain. Transformation occurred. He realized that it was Jesus and he wanted in. He wanted in. He gave his life to Jesus. His life was transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They saw a need. They met the need for the back to be healed. And the power of love transformed that man's life. And his daughter's. What a witness. Did you see that? His daughter giving her life to Jesus as well. And how he said, he's my father. He's now recognizing who he is. Kingdom love transforms. Are you capturing this kingdom vision of love? Do you see the part that we're to play? Isn't it exciting? But the reality is that if we're not willing to be a part of this among people part, if we're not willing to be like John and Pat and partner with God to carry out his will, then we're not going to affect the earth. John and Pat didn't have to choose to partner with God. And if they had said no to that situation, then that scenario with Mark and his daughter may never have happened. It wouldn't have happened. If we want to see this affecting the earth, then we need to partner with God and carry it out. The kingdom of God, it's not a place. It's God's will carried out on earth through us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within us. We can advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven now. How? By loving God and loving others. Paul says that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Love, it's the only thing that really counts in the kingdom. The only thing that really counts is love. Love for God and love for others. Now, practically speaking, I actually find this very helpful, a helpful revelation, because everything we do or say should come under one of these categories, loving God and loving others. So if what I'm doing, saying, thinking, if it's not expressing either my love for God or love for others in some way, then it actually shouldn't, I shouldn't be doing it, thinking it or saying it, because it's not a part of the kingdom that I belong to. So as we reflect and evaluate our lives, am I loving God and loving others? Is what I'm doing loving God or loving others? And if it's not, we need to get rid of it. Now, at Mums to Life this Thursday, we were sharing and having a discussion about what kingdom love or agape love looks like in our context. Okay, sure, it looks like John and Pat going on the street and praying for healing, meeting a need, but that's just one example. What else? Well, love looks like making time to go and see a friend who's in distress when you actually don't have time. When you're so busy that you don't have time, but your friend needs you, so you actually show them agape by seeing them. Agape, it's praying for the person in your workplace, in your school, in your social non-church circles. It's praying for them at the risk of being labelled a weirdo or a freak. That's agape. Agape is every single one of us here using the gifts that God has given us, because every single one of us has been given a gift. It's using the gifts to serve one another in the church. And it's using our gifts to serve the community. Agape is signing up to serve the local community at the Family Fun Day. It's putting your name down on the sheet and turning up sometime between 10 and 4 or pack up or clean up. It's a demonstration of agape, even if it means giving up part of our Saturday. That's agape. I was trying to think of some other examples of the way agape transforms lives. And I shared a few months back about a man who I prayed for running along the Yarra. So this man, a healer, he's into the New Age, spiritualist, and I, for those who didn't hear the story, I felt like God prompted me to stop and pray for his foot. I didn't know he had a sore foot, but I stopped and I prayed for his foot, and God healed his foot. And so this week I saw him, hadn't seen him for a while again, and I saw him as I was running along the river, and we stopped and we had a chat. And he said, "Oh, my leg's come good." And I said, "Your leg?" He said, "Oh, what did you pray for?" I said, "It was your foot." I said, "And I also kind of prayed for your knee." He said, "Yeah, the foot's great. The knee's great." He said, "What I didn't tell you is that, you know, 10 years ago I'd had an accident and my hip was damaged and it's never been the same again. But you healed my hip too. My whole legs, they're great. Everything's great. You healed me." I said, "Jesus healed you. Jesus healed you." And he said, "Yeah, God healed me." I said, "Yeah, God the Father of Jesus, he healed you." Just to make it clear which God we were talking about. I said, "He loves you." He goes, "Yeah, yeah." And then we were engaging in a conversation. He said, "So where do you do your thing again?" I said, and I explained where our church was. He goes, "Oh, yeah, what time?" That was him asking, "Where do you go to church? And maybe I'll come along." I mean, he's not here this morning, but he's thinking about it. Why? Because kingdom love transforms. And it doesn't happen always like that. But they're meeting the need leads to something else. Now, it might not be me who leads him to the something else, but it's planted a seed. Why? Because I chose to demonstrate that the kingdom of God has come in this man's life. We can all do it. I love it when he said on the clip, "God's not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels." Our job on earth, if we are serious about being followers of Jesus, is to love everyone the same way Jesus did. This isn't loving in a way that's comfortable for us. This is loving the way Jesus did. And that might scare the bejesus out of you right now. And that's okay. But if we are really going to be a people who are going to be known by our love, which is God's plan for us, that's his plan. If we're going to be a people who are known by our love, then we need to be prepared to step out. To step out, because the kingdom of God is within us. And our job on earth is to love everyone the same way Jesus did. We are to imitate him. So, this morning, do we really want to be captured by Jesus' kingdom vision of love? I'm not talking about, yeah, that's nice, let's understand it. I mean captured by it. In a way that makes us step out and do it. And it doesn't mean we're all on the street praying for healing. There are so many ways that we can be demonstrating. We have Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is within us. We see a need, we can meet the need. We can't be content to be having a conversation with someone and say, oh, I'm really, really sorry that that terrible, awful thing has happened to you. Or that terrible, awful thing is happening to you. All the best. And walk away. Which is what we so often do, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven is within us. We have something to meet the need. We can meet the need. We've been learning about spiritual gifts. We've been talking about it. We've been learning about it and talking about it and learning about it and talking about it. Are we merely hearers of the word or are we doers of the word? Are we prepared to follow Jesus? It means sacrifice. It means surrender. You know it. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. So please stand. The music team's going to come up. And I would like to pray for us. Lord, this is, it's not easy to step out and love like you loved, like you do love. Jesus, it's in a culture that we live in, it's a hard example to follow because it's so countercultural. It's so opposed to the world, and yet it's your plan for us. So Jesus, this morning, we want to be captured by your kingdom vision of love. Captured, truly captured. And so I pray this morning, God, now, that you would pour out your love. That we would be captured by it. Would you pour out your love for us? That we would be so captured by it. That we would be transformed by it. So we ask you, God, this morning to come in power and transform us with your love.